It's always an honor when they ask me to come up and teach. It's a special honor when they let you have their pulpit because they trust you. So, but this week, during the Christmas holidays, some of the things you guys might have missed that I was reading on. The Pope the other day said a couple of things that kind of I scratched my head at. One, he said now he can bless the Catholic Church can bless same-sex relationships. He said not marriages, but they can go ahead and do a blessing on same-sex relationships. I found that very interesting. He said he can't do the blessing like you do in a marriage, but they can start acknowledge that. Which the second thing he said was that the Ten Commandments weren't an absolute. In a point, I see what he is saying, because in the next phrase, he clarified some of it up. He said, because you don't have salvation without Jesus. I agree on that part. The Ten Commandments are simply a moral compass for me and you. That's what it is. And it's all summed up if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might, and you love your neighbor as yourself, then you're going to follow the Ten Commandments. But it was interesting because, see, the devil doesn't come at you with something deep. Like, he didn't come out and say, hey, I got an idea. Let's go out and kill 30 million babies. No, he goes, let's call it a choice. And let's not call it homosexuality. Let's call it an alternate lifestyle. So he doesn't always come out with you with the whole thing. And if you had an abortion, God loves you. If you repented, he forgives you. I don't have a problem with that. But I can see Satan slowly working into churches with just a little bit of stuff that isn't quite true. And the problem is a little leaven leavens the whole dough. A little falsehood could lead you really, really far away. And that's why I'm going to talk to you tonight, folly for trusting others. Don't trust me. Read your Bible. Check and see what I'm saying is true. Don't be a fool. Read your Bible. There's a lot of cults out there that people follow that are wrong. Who is Joseph Smith anyways? Is he God? No. Jesus is Lord. The problem is, you know, one of the things that blessed me about Jim when we got to talking, he goes, someone says, why don't you do Jim Etheridge's ministry? He goes, because it ain't my ministry. It's God's ministry. I'm just shepherding here. And, you know, what a humble way to think of it. And it ain't our ministry. We're just doing what God's called us to do. Amen? So in these past several chapters, the title of this is Folly for Trusting Others. I'm going to start out in 31. We're just going to read the first verse, 31, Isaiah. And it says, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses, who trust in the multitude of their chariots and in the great strength of their horsemen, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from the Lord. Let's pray. Father, you are God. We praise you. We thank you. Father, we can't say thank you enough for Jesus, Father. And Father, tonight we just pray that you'd have your way in this sanctuary, Father God, that my words would be yours, Father God, and that you would touch us and change lives. In Jesus' name. This year, you know, every year I look back and I don't make New Year's resolutions, but I kind of glance over my year and I think, where could I do better? Be a better witness, be more caring, support maybe ministries more. And that's something I do on myself, but I always do it for the sake of the gospel. And the word of God is, the Old Testament has rules and regulations and laws, but there's a lot of history here, and what God's trying to do is teach us not to do what they did. You know, I remember years ago, my brother did something really dumb, and I watched my dad get hold of him, and I said, don't do that. It didn't take me a whole lot to realize not to do that. And so the law and the prophets, you know, they show us Christ. They tell us stuff that's going to come up. but it also teaches us. So it's very important that we read the Bible and we read all of it. But the woe verse, I want you to realize that the past three chapters, so including this one, are the woe chapters. When God repeats himself twice, it's bad. Three times, it doesn't look very good. And this is the first time God said, woe. Now, to get this picture a little deeper, realize he's talking to his people. This is a Jewish nation. The temple was there. He gave them the law, the prophets, and they didn't do a whole lot with it. So let's break that down for today. So all begins with woe, woe to the God's chosen people who are sinning against him by worshiping idols, getting drunk, rebellious. Even in the New Testament, it says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord in Romans 6:23. For the Christian, Jesus should always be first for our problems, not the bank or our boss, the family, or anything else. Our faith needs to be placed in Christ when our lives look like everything is going wrong. The problem with the Jewish nation was, okay, yeah, we heard of Yahweh. Yeah, he gave us the law, but they didn't have a relationship. So there's no trust there. How many times do we have a problem and we start thinking, okay, how am I going to solve this problem? I mean, there's many times I didn't take something to prayer and later I looked back and I thought, knucklehead, the first thing I should have done was taking it to the Lord. Years ago, I had a hernia and found out I had a hernia, went to see the doctor. It was Friday. Saturday was busy because they're going to operate Monday, and Monday I had the surgery. For 3 days, I'm in pain, and then God speaks to me on the fourth day. He goes, you know, I could have healed that. Now you tell me? He goes, you didn't ask. That's a shocking revelation after going through all that pain. The problem is everyone has faith in something. Where's our faith placed? The Jewish people should have their faith trusted in what God said. You should take the word of God and you can take it to the bank. What I tell people is when Jesus said something, he wasn't suggesting it. Everything he spoke was the word of God. Can you take that to the bank? That's the problem we have in the church world today. So let's measure up how we do. So first thing I'm going to say, how's your marriage? I'm being honest. See, I reflected on where I could do better this year. But do we love our wives with all of our heart? Do we uplift them? Do we submit to our husbands? Do we pay our tithe? Do we love our neighbors? These are things I hit me with all the time. Where could I do better? And God told these guys time and time and time again, repent. You ever notice every prophet in there, first thing he says is repent? Isaiah said repent. Jeremiah said repent. Zechariah said repent. Go through it all. Repent. Jesus said repent. The apostles said repent. If we're going to grow this year, we're going to have to do it God's way. The problem is we're not. And I can be honest with you. When I go and I read statistics and they said, I can't remember the numbers now, but about 60% of men in the church have pornography problem. Have we taken it to the Lord? I'm being honest. Or 10 to 12% supports the church, nobody tithes. Unforgiveness is rattling the church big time. Hey, I was just as flesh as everybody else. Sometimes my wife says, you're a little harder on yourself. I keep Dwayne in check. Because my biggest fear is I will do something that shames Jesus. That I couldn't share his word. So there's a lot of things I don't do. You know, when I was, before I was saved, you know, men's bachelor cover parties were always at strip clubs. I didn't know any better. I got saved, and guess what I didn't do? Didn't go to strip clubs. You know, their alcoholism ran in my family. So when I got saved, guess what I quit doing? I don't drink. God removed tobacco from me. It is our job to seek God's face so he can help clean us up. The church world is so divided, and the main reason is nobody reads the word. Jim talked to me. He goes, you know, you got very good sound doctrine. Where'd you get it from? I go, read the book. I read it like seven times because the first like six, I didn't understand it. But as the seven times started rolling around, I started understanding more, and God would show me things. But I know this, God will not ever break his word for you or for anybody else. So if you're trying to be blessed by God, but you're living a lifestyle that is contrary to the word, seek his face. He'll clean you up. If he can clean me up, he can clean anybody up. Amen? So everyone has faith in something. Stock market, government, our own abilities, other people. Wrong place face of faith can cause damage to friendships, finances, family, and even the church. Our faith must always be placed in God and God alone. Everything else will lead to disappointment, frustration, and even bitterness and unforgiveness. Disobedience to the word of God causes frustration, unbelief, anger. God's word should always come first to the Christian. I went to a church years ago looking for one just to do a Wednesday night so I can go get away and worship. And I went up to the elders and I asked them, what does your church believe about the gifts of the Spirit? First elder couldn't answer me. Second elder didn't do much of better than that either. Pastor's wife talked to me, but she really didn't seem to want to answer the questions. So I figured this is not where I belong. If you don't know what the church believes, then you need to find out if it's in line with the Word of God, first and foremost. I didn't step in this building till I read their statement. Got online, looked around, started reading some, and it really bothers me, a church that will not go to the website and put a statement of faith and what they believe on their website. What are you hiding? So anyways, woe to those who trust in anything else but God. So I want to take a look at Proverbs 3. We talk about it a lot. It's my favorite Proverbs, probably most people that I know of, because it says so much in that little proverb. But what it really does, it explains everything but the salvation of Christ. So when I say this, I want you to understand. You are saved by Jesus Christ, faith in him alone. All right, but that word, believe, is a commitment to. It just doesn't mean, oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. You know how many people tell me, oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but I'm not a church person? I've heard that several times now. And I tell them, boy, you'd hate heaven. You'll hate heaven. Anyways, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, it says, my son, personalize that. God's calling you his child. My child. Let's just make it easy. It's not blaspheme, okay? He says, my child, do not forget my teaching. How do you know what it says if you never read it? That was Israel's downfall. They might hear it now and then, but they're also worshiping idols, killing babies on the fire of Molech. All kinds of despicable stuff. And can I let you know something? At the end of this, Egypt lets them down. They don't rescue them. They don't help them, but they took the payment. Man, government, will always let you down. But Yahweh, never. Jesus, never. Holy Spirit, never. So it says, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life. You guys want long life? Many years, and bring you peace and prosperity. Can we use a little more peace today? You know, that guy at work one day, he goes, you know, you're my favorite foreman. So I don't have a clue. He goes, because when everybody panics and things are going wrong, he goes, you're you. And I go, dude, if I feel like panicking to help, I'll panic. I just don't see no use in it. So peace and prosperity. Can anybody use a little more prosperity? Interesting. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love, say love, and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will find favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. And I'm going to tell you, I've quoted this scripture when I goofed up real bad at work and everything was chaos and I was in a lot of trouble. Yeah, I said, God, now I need favor. And I went into that meeting with my tail between my legs, and I came out, and they said, don't worry about it. It's all good. We got it taken care of. That could have cost me thousands of dollars. But it's called favor. Favor. Love and faithfulness. Let it never leave you. All right, four, then you will find favor and a good name in the sight of God. Trust in Yahweh, that's all capital Lord, so it'd be Yahweh. Trust in Yahweh with all your heart and lean not onto your own understanding. What does that mean? When things go rough, trust God. When things don't go like you planned, trust God. When you get fired, trust God. When the doctor gives you bad news, trust God. When your finances aren't where they belong, trust God. I found in my life, he's about the only one I can count on every time. Every time. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. What's that? Guidance. He will guide you. Can we use guidance navigating this world? I've had God speak to me on the job site and said, hey, why don't you go over here and talk to this guy? He's hiding from me. Okay? I like it when I know God's guiding me and I'm not off on a rabbit trail somewhere. So if you want guidance for your life, you're going to have to trust him and lean on him, even when times go bad. Seven, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Yahweh and shun evil. Stay away from evil. What's evil? Everything God says is evil. It's evil. Stay away from it. We make this really complicated, but when you break it down, it's not that complicated. All right, do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health, say health, to your body and nourishment to your bones. Huh. Stick close to God. He's got this. Everything you go through, just like all of you, I got battle scars of life. But I know the only one I can always trust and the one that's never given up on me is God. So I stick with God. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of all your crops. Tithe. Interesting. I read how so little people pay their tithe. Kind of wonder why. I tell people all the time when I read it, I don't get paid here. And I like not getting paid here. Because nobody can say, well, you just say that because you get paid. I don't get paid. I don't care if I ever get paid from this pulpit. But what I try to tell people, hook your finances up with God, and then God will set you free. Because either you control your money, or your money controls you. And if you give it to God, then you're saying, God, I'm trusting you. Tithe means 10%. I don't know how many times I tell people this. When I was first shared this, I was flat broke. They turned off the lights in my little apartment, wanted my car back. I got two kids and a wife. And my brother-in-law came up and said, let me share something with you. And he took me to Malachi 3, talked about the tithe. And he goes, I'm just going to share this with you because I want you to be blessed in the Lord. What you do with it, I can't help you. And so at that moment, after he left, I prayed about it and went out and told my wife. I said, we're going to start paying our tithes starting this next check. And she goes, have you lost your mind? They just shut off our lights. The repo man was here yesterday. And I said, look, either this book works or it doesn't work. And if it works, then I'll be blessed for it. If it doesn't work, then I don't have to read it. But it's only when Scripture says, test me in this way. God said, this is the way you can test him. So I said, all right, and let me tell you, that first year was hard. But then God, I started finding favor. And he blessed me a little bit where I can survive. And the year later and the year later, and as I've grown, he's given me a little more, a little more. And I remember one day praying about it. And I said, Father, you know, I go, your Bible talks about pour out a blessing when pay your tithe and you're obedient to your word. And he goes, yes, but if you're a fool for a little, you'll be fool for much. So first I got to teach you not to be a fool. And I said, can you use another word but fool? I kind of don't like that word. But it made me think about what God was telling me. And what he did, he showed me how to manage things. And so I share it with guys on the job site all the time. I said, look, they say, well, how do you work construction and you're okay and you don't have financial problems? So I go, Jesus. I go, look, when God says pay your tithe, now he takes me off the world's economy and he places me into a spiritual economy that God controls all things. And they go, well, and I go, there is no well. I'm never out of work. Even when I get laid off, I find work right away. I got guys at Hall says, how do you do that? Pay your tithe. These are a lot of guys I work with. They say they're born-again Christians. But the problem is they don't know the basic part of this word. And they don't understand where it says, woe unto you. Just because you say I'm born again doesn't mean you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. I know there's a time that you grow into that. But if you're going to be blessed in this life, if you're going to have peace in all circumstances, then you're going to have to learn to trust the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And if he says pay tithe and you don't, isn't that disobedience? I'm just being honest. I've been there, okay? I could write a book just on tithing of what God has done for me. This year I got more money ever during the holiday season. Bonuses, checks, and I'm like, wow. You know? So I gave more away. Me and Gaylene prayed about it. We support other ministries. We support the church here. But I look back 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years. You got to start somewheres. And it's better to start now than not start at all. You know, I bought that Dodge truck. I paid it off 2 years early. And it's simply God's taught me to be a wiser steward with the money I have. Denny?
Yeah, you're right. You know, you're talking about construction and stuff like that and how they don't have the money. And, you know, it's a crazy world. It's feast or famine.
Correct. Thank you.
Don't go to the bar.
Don't waste your money.
So you got to take those little steps right there. And then when you start taking those steps, you're not going to the bar here and there. You start seeing more money. And then you see the blessings. And then, you know,
correct.
You start to see the work of God in you. And then that's when, you know, the tithing comes.
Yeah.
And then they're saying, oh, I got more money. But that's because the work of the Lord is in your life. You're not doing the stupid things you did in construction.
It doesn't that help when you just put away the stupid things?
Yeah.
You know, I quit drinking. I quit chewing tobacco. When I quit chewing tobacco And that's an interesting story of itself, because I went into 7-Eleven by another can. I remember throwing it away and God speaking to me and saying, you don't need that no more. I go, amen. And I turned around, never had a craving for it again. When I quit, that stuff was about $2, $1.95 a can. That stuff's like $6 a can now. I'm like, thank you. Just in getting that out of my life saved me a small fortune. But it was God who cleaned Dwayne up. But he cleaned me up because I was seeking him. So seek the Lord. But if you're going to be set free in your financial realm, you're going to have to hand over God sooner or later, or this thing will haunt you all your life. Matter of fact, my dad, before he passed away, probably about 2 years before he passed away, I remember we were talking about tithe because he was really struggling. And one day I told him about it several times, so he started off with 5%. Can I tell you, tithe is 10%. I don't know where people get 5, but Dad started out at 5, and he came up to me one day, and he goes, hey, boy, I'm up to 8%. I go, cool, Dad. He said, wouldn't that be great to get to heaven? And Jesus said, you know, I really wanted to pour out a blessing on you, but you only gave 8%. My dad goes, well, that doesn't make no sense. I go, well, I'll just put it as simple as I can. And I remember when he passed away, because I probably 20 years before he passed, I started sharing with him the tithe. Why? Because I wanted my parents to be set free financially, because they struggled all the time. And Dad looked at me. He goes, boy, can I tell you something? And he always called me boy. I go, go ahead, Pop. And he goes, other than Christ, tell me about Jesus. Telling me about the tithe was the greatest thing you ever did. He goes, I never dreamed in my life I'd have $28,000 in the bank. I said, amen. It released him. But not only did it release him, because he had, you know, he went to Vietnam and the war and everything, but all of a sudden he started finding favor. And the government says, we owe you a little more here, and we owe you a little bit more here. And Dad didn't drink no more. Still kept his tobacco, but he didn't drink no more. And the next thing you know, his bank account, like Denny said, just grew and grew and grew and grew. But what did it take on Dad's part? It took obedience to the Word of God that God could help him out. If you're not going to be obedient, I can be honest with you. Anything I tell you, it's not going to help you. It's not. We have to get into this Word and say, God, what do you want from Dwayne? And that's what I did the past 2 weeks. Studying this and thinking, I got to do better. Me. I got to do better. I need to witness more. I need to love more. I need to help my wife out more. You see what I'm saying? That's Dwayne focusing on Dwayne. When I go to prayer, I don't say, God, beat my wife into submission. I've heard people say stuff about that dumb. And I said, look, dude, can I tell you something? When you're in prayer, God is dealing with you, not your spouse. And when you're in prayer, do me a favor, lift up your spouse. Don't tell God everything they're doing wrong. Say, thank you for the spouse you gave me. Because when you said you did, you did. Now God expects you to honor his word and love your wife and submit to your husband. Can't make it any simpler than that. And then I hear, well, if he loved me, Wyatt, I'd submit to him. And he'd say, well, if she submitted, I'd love her. You see what I'm saying? We keep doing these things the wrong way. Yes. Find out what God wants from you and apply that to your life. Am I making this hard? No. Israel didn't do that. Yes. Oh, I'm going to go up to the temple with Teresa today, but tonight I'm going to the bar. That's not what God wanted. And that's what they're doing. They'd go to worship, but then they'd go to the fire of Molech. And then you'd get drunk in priest. And God kept saying, whoa, 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 whoa. And nobody wanted to hear. They did when they got into captivity. Can I tell you what Egypt represents? The land of slavery. Do you know what your sin represents? The land of slavery. It's not hard to put the two together. Get out of Egypt. Don't look back. Take your marching orders, get out of Egypt, and don't look back. All right. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim with new wine. My son, do not despise Yahweh's discipline. Do you know God disciplines us? He's rebuked me several times, and he's disciplined me, and he's taught me, and he's trained me, and he's done a work in my life that, looking back, I couldn't ever imagine. And do not resent his rebuke, and God has rebuked me, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. As a father, the son he delights. Do you understand that God says you're the apple of his eye? Peter says you're a royal priesthood, a chosen nation. God chose you. He loves you more than anybody on this planet ever will or ever could. He does. And if you need discipline, trust me. It's kind of like Jim always says, you can do it the easy way or the hard way. And I love the way Jim says, there's God's permissible will. You can do whatever you want, but there's God's perfect will. Do you want God's perfect plan for your life, or do you want your assumed perfect will for your life? All right, so let's go back over to 31st chapter, Isaiah. So after he says, whoa, 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 verse 2, he said, yet he too is wise and can bring disaster. He does not take back his words. He will rise up against the wicked nation, against those who help evildoers. God says, I don't care who you are. You keep doing evil, and guess what? God, you don't get away with it. Whatever a man soweth, also that man reap. God is not mocked. It's amazing to me how many guys that I deal with, mostly I deal with guys on the job, that get it seems like, you ever remember that song, here we go around the mountain again? And you watch them go around the same problem all the time. And finally I get to the point, I said, well, what's the sin you're causing to cause this? What are you doing to reap your harvest? If your harvest is always bad, 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 it belongs to you. Yeah, plant better seeds. And I finally talked to this guy because he got fired. Highly intelligent guy, knew his job. The next job he got fired. But I knew he had an attitude too, and then he got fired. And finally one day I had a conversation with him. I said, dude, what are you doing? At this time I was a men's leader. He said, well, I got caught with pornography on the job. Well, you deserve to be fired. But I go, you got a problem here. And you're going to have to overcome this. Have you been reading your word? I already read it before. Well, apparently it didn't do you much good. Pick up your word, read it daily. The word will help you stay away from sin. It's affecting you, your marriage, your finances, everything. I tell this to people all the time. Your seeds place your future. Does that make sense? Your seeds. I cannot help you with your seeds. When I read whatever a man sows, that's your actions, your deeds, your finances, everything. Start sowing them in good seeds. I don't yell at people because guess what? I don't want to be yelled at. All right? There are certain things when I learned this, I was like, yee. I knew that I had to change my seed. You don't plant corn and want wheat. All right? Does that make sense to anybody? All right. So plant love, kindness, meekness, temperance, self-control. What do you get? Peace. Peace. It's not rocket science. Verse 3, but the Egyptians are mere mortals and not God. Their horses are flesh, not spirit. When the Lord stretched out his hand, those who help will stumble. Those who are helped will fall. All will perish together. This is what Yahweh says to me. As a lion growls, a great lion over its prey, and though a whole band of shepherds is called together against it, it is not frightened by their shouts or disturbed by their clamor. So Lord Almighty will come down to do battle on Mount Zion and on its heights. God says, I got you. This seems to be talking a little less in the future, because at this point, Israel's going into captivity. Their seeds were sown. They sowed their seeds. They're about to reap their harvest. And guess what? They were being disciplined. God didn't hate them. He said, I'll bring you back. He goes, I will defend Jerusalem because my name's on it. When God says something, you can take it to the bank. But he goes, you sowed these seeds. How many times did God tell them to repent? All through the book. And now he's saying, you're going into captivity. Do you know that Israel's the only nation that ever went into captivity, came back and took back their homeland and Jerusalem in the history of the world? No nation that has been ever removed from its place has ever went back. But God said, I'll bring you back. What you can't do, God can do. Simple. Israel sowed their seeds. Call them wild oats, call them whatever you want. You will reap that harvest. God is not mocked. It's that simple. Plant seeds worthy of peace. I read that and I thought, ooh. I learned real quickly when I read that one. Some of them were a little harder for me. That one was pretty easy. Like birds hovering overhead, the Lord Almighty will shield Jerusalem. He will shield it and deliver it, and he will pass over it, and he will rescue it. Do you remember Jesus sitting there and said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I wanted to take you in my arms like a mother grabs her hands and just love on you? Because you weren't willing. You weren't willing. That's what God's talking about, but God said, don't worry. Jerusalem be there, and at the end, he said, I'll rescue it. There ain't no army that's going to rescue Jerusalem. I've had many people say, do you think America's going to stand up Jerusalem? I said, Jerusalem will have one Savior, and it ain't America. God ain't sharing his glory with anybody. He said, I will rescue Israel. God will rescue Israel. Simple. I don't question that. But don't put your trust in government. Do not put your trust in a political party. All right? I'm just telling you. They'll let you down every time. All right. And then he says, return, repent. Same word. Return, repent, turn around, quit, stop, turn to me. God's just saying, how many times I got to tell you guys, repent? Jesus said it too. You Israelites, to the one you have so greatly revolted against. For in that day, every one of you will reject the idols of silver and gold and which sinful hands have made. Do you know after this captivity, they never worshipped another idol? They were disciplined. They learned. How hard do we got to be disciplined to learn? Hebrews 12:10 says, they discipline us for a little while, as though best, but God's discipline, and it's talking about the Father, but God disciplines us for our own good in order that we may share in his holiness. God's holiness is still the standard. Did you realize that? It's never changed. Have I arrived? No. I'm still working on it. I'm not perfect. But God's standard has never quit. Oh, may the Lord grant your request. In Psalm 26 through 9, and this is where, I don't know how many times you got to read the Bible before you realize doing it your way just doesn't work. It doesn't. It's never worked for me. Has anybody here been like Dwayne, and he prayed a prayer and decided he was going to try to help God answer that prayer? Or am I the only one that ever decided God needed my help? You know, God, I'm short money, so I need a quick finance. Ooh, I'll go buy a lotto ticket. Let me help God out. Am I the only one that's ever done that? Nobody's ever tried to help God answer that prayer? You know, I've always, you know, I tell people it's better when Dwayne plays Dwayne, God plays God. Because when I play God, I really mess things up and it doesn't look good. Then I'm up before my face in the Lord and I said, I blew it again. It's horrible. And over the years, you know, I've gotten a little wiser, I would hope.
With age, you get wiser.
Yeah, I feel it's with age, and I don't try to help God out. Pray it, believe it, continue seeking Him. But honestly, if you're going to be live a life that you have peace, can I ask somebody a question? When you have finance problems, is there peace in the home? Okay, so I'm not the only one. I remember having financial struggles, and there's never a sleepless night. There's never peace. Well, I have that peace. I have that peace. Because I don't trust on myself. I don't trust in my understanding, because honestly, I don't understand a whole lot. But I know when God said it, I could take it to the bank. I remember, was it Paul that said, given and be given unto you good men? No, Jesus said that. Jesus said that in Luke, I'm sorry. But he said, give, and it would be given unto you. Good measure, pressed forth, shaking down, and flowing over abundantly, will men give unto you. I really hate it when a waitress tells me she won't work Sundays because them church people don't give anything for a tip. I know two waitresses tell me they refuse to work on Sundays because of the way the Christians treat them. Is that appalling?
Yes.
Am I the only one shocked by that? And because I normally, we get in a conversation, Jesus, during sometimes our meal, I try to leave a big tip. I know. I didn't say he did it. I wasn't pointing fingers. All right, Psalm 26-9. Now this I know. Yahweh gives victory to His anointed. He answers him from the heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of His right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in Yahweh our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we will rise up and stand. Yahweh, give victory to the king. Answer us when we call. Their focus was on Egypt, and they took the work out of God's hands. That's what Israel did. God, we know you're there, but they got an army. But God, you got to understand. We go to the temple once a week, but they got a big chariot. Do you know he's called Sabaoth, Yahweh Sabaoth, Lord of many armies, or armies. God used Assyrians. He used the Babylonians. He used the Egyptians. God's got to make a point across, and your sin gets overwhelming. God disciplines those He loves. So Dwayne, not being the brightest crown in the box, told himself, don't do this, and good things happen. Sow good seeds, good things happen. Don't sin, good things happen. Don't yell at people, treat people bad. Good things happen. All I want is God to bless you guys. I really do. Okay. They wanted to preserve Jerusalem and went to man that could not deliver, nor would he. A gracious call for repentance. What idols do we place first before prayer and the word of God? Do we play video games but say, you know, Pastor Dwayne, I was too busy all week to read my Bible? Do we watch TV and say, I didn't have time for prayer? Well, you know, that football game was on, but God will forgive me that I didn't pray or read this week. We make excuses for just about anything we do. Hey, I'm good at excuses. Okay, I could probably write a book on that one too. But God never buys my excuses because that's what they are. When my guys come up to me and give me an excuse, I said, all that is an excuse. That's all it is. It's not what I want to hear. I'm direct with my guys, I am. I'm fair with them, more than fair. I'm honest with them. You know, I try to help them out as much as I can, but I'm direct. had a guy today that they said a guy up top wanted to talk to a pastor, and so guys came down and said, some guy upstairs is looking for you. I didn't know the guy. I knew who he was, and I walk up, and he saw it was me and was like, uh-oh. And I'm like, what did I do to him? What did I do to him? But anyways, he goes, can I talk to you alone privately? And I said, sure. And he said, he goes, how do I make someone get saved? I go, if I knew everybody in this building would be saved and everybody outside this building would be saved, everybody on this base in Colorado Springs would be saved. Because that's my heart, that everybody come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I said, what you do is you tell that person every time you see him, Jesus loves you. He died for you. Well, that she's an atheist. I don't care what she is. You say, Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. I tell that to guys all the time. Recently, a guy looked at me, and I came in to work. It was like Tuesday. He goes, hey, happy Tuesday. I go, oh, well, let's wait till Friday. And he goes, dude, any day above grass is a good day. I said, well, can I be honest with you? He goes, yeah. I go, Jesus, don't leave this planet without him. I go, I don't know how else to tell you that. But don't leave this planet without him. It's the worst decision you'll ever make in your life. And he got real quiet. And I thought, well, have a good day. And walked away. Said he'll ponder that. It took him about 3 days to get over and talk to me again. But, okay. In verse 8 of 31, it says, Assyria will fall by no human sword. God says, I will judge them for what they did to you. Oh, a sword not of mortals will devour them. They will flee before the sword, and their young men will be put to forced labor. Their stronghold will fall because of terror. At the sight of the battle standards, their commanders will panic, declares the Lord, whose fire is in Zion, whose furnace is Jerusalem. God says, I got this. He goes, yes, I'm using Assyria to punish you, but I haven't forgot their sins either. They too will be punished. They're not too big anymore, are they? And God didn't discipline them like a child he loved. He did that to his people. These people were kind of ruthless. But I wanted to leave you with Galatians, or Galatians as we call it. This is the one I said, 9:7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Your life is what you have sown. You can blame me all you want. You sow the seeds, the harvest is yours. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And then he says, let us not become weary in well-doing, good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong in the house of the believer. So, in saying that, God loves you. And he said, you know what, I'm going to give you my word so you can be an overcomer, not an underachiever. Pick up your word. Get on your face. Seek God. And I promise you, that peace in time of trouble, I have it. I mean, Gayling tell you, I had surgery after surgery. And my brother goes, did it bother you? No. Didn't bother me at all. He goes, were you afraid of dying? No, I figured God had me there to witness somebody. And he goes, really? I never thought about dying. He goes, well, you never thought about it? No. Well, I go home to glory. I just told Gayleen, if it happens, do not resuscitate. If I get in the presence of God and somebody brings me back, I'm not going to be very happy. You understand what I'm saying? This brother ain't going to be happy. Leave me alone, okay? Anyways, sow the proper seeds. Reach out to people in love and kindness, in humility, thinking of people better than ourselves. God disciplined Israel because he loved them. God will discipline you guys because he loves you. But the Assyrians, God said, you're getting punished. A little different scenario there. Amen?
Amen.
Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much that you love us, Father, way before we even knew who you were. From the foundation of the earth, Father, you've knocked on our heart. Father, I thank you for knocking on mine. Father, I pray that as my brothers and sisters go forth this week, Father, I pray that you'd open up doors that they just can share the love of Jesus to everybody they run into, Father. Bless them. And bless our pastor and the family, Father, and Jen, Father God, and Pups, Father. Bless them. Give them peace through all this. And I give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name.